You know what? We have a really good testimony today. Miss Care Saborn is going to be with us and share an amazing healing miracle. She is one of our prayer warriors, and she quite often gives counsel to women, and we appreciate her ministry with us so much. And Care, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, praise be to God. Share something good with the folks. Share something really good with them, something that'll encourage them and build them up and put faith in their hearts for you know, the little guy like us, you know, out here that needs to know how to walk with Jesus and needs to know his power and so on.
You got it. Well, Brother David, my story kind of starts at the end of last year in 2007. I had gone in for what was to be a regular eye exam. I hadn't been to an eye doctor in years. And she did a dilation of my eyes, and she came out and told me that she had extremely bad news, that my right eye was hemorrhaging quite seriously, and that it was very far above her head. She could do nothing for me. And so she referred me on to another specialist, which I saw in April. And again, he did the examination, and he told me, you have a very large hemorrhage in the center of your eye, and that's actually the worst place you could have it. And again, this is over my head, and I have to refer you to a retinologist that's also a surgeon. And I live in a tiny town in Arizona, and so we have to wait for specialists to come our way. And a guy came in from Las Vegas, a real well-known guy, and he only takes the most serious cases. This is what he specializes in, the retina and serious eye problems. And so I went to see him last week. Excuse me. And I went to his office, and his office is this tiny little office. It's kind of like a satellite office because, like I said, he sees people in our little town about once every 3 months he comes. And the nurse put some awful stuff in my eyes, and it was running down my face, and it was just really miserable. And then they stuck me in this little room. They call this the theater room, and they proceeded to put a video in showing me about my so-called eye problem. And in this video, it talked about the bleeding from the eye and how it drips, and their treatment is lasers. And they laser your eyes several times, sometimes several hundred times. They actually shoot holes into your eye. And sometimes you have to have more than one set of these treatments. And what happens is you lose your side vision from them doing it, and you also lose part of your straight-on vision in many of the cases,
That seems like a bad trade.
Exactly. And then they go on to tell you, but, you know, in like 70% of the cases, that doesn't work even after you've gone through all that. And so then you have to have a major surgery where you're hospitalized and they take out something in the center of your eye and replace it with all this other stuff. And it was just miserable. And I sat in that room and I said, Lord, if this is what man has to offer me, I want no part of this. I want you, and whatever I have to do, I want you. And the nurse came and got me, and she took me in with the specialist, you know, and he's very prim and proper, and he begins to do the exam. And the end of the exam, he had a very strong light that he flashed up into my eyes, and he kept repeating the directions to me. I knew something was up because he would say, look up or left, look up or right. No, look up or left again. And then there was a period of time where he did look perplexed, and he said, you know what, let's look at your left eye. And I said, well, my left eye has never had a problem. He goes, yeah, just let me look at it. So he did the exam on the left eye, and then he went back to the right eye. And he said, look up or left, look up or right, move this way, do this. And I could just tell that he wasn't really happy with the results. And so he took the little light he was flashing in my eye and he threw it down on the desk. And he kept looking over the pictures of my eyes from the two previous doctors, and he said, I can find absolutely nothing wrong with your eye. He said, I have your records here. I have pictures here. He says, but I see nothing. And the words he spoke to me were, go on your way. You have no need for me.
Praise the Lord.
And I got out of the chair, and I did a big woo-ha yell, which, like I said, this is a tiny office. And I was so elated, and I told him, I prayed, I asked the Lord to heal me, and he did. He healed my eye. And his nurse, she just grinned, you know, really big. She didn't say anything, but he just kept looking at me and shaking his head. And he said to me, if you need me, if you have any problems, please call me. And I just looked at him and smiled and said, brother, I will never need to see you again. And I went out of the office, and I walked to the reception area, and there were two ladies there, and they were, you know, like front office ladies. And they said to me, Care, when's your surgery? And I said, I don't need surgery. The Lord healed my eye. And I said it really loud because the waiting room was very tiny. And I turned around, and the Lord gave me a moment of such compassion because the chairs, in the chairs were lined up a lot of people who were really serious. Because by the time you get to this eye specialist, you have a really serious problem. And I could see some of them begin to smile. And I turned around and I said, the Lord healed my eye and I don't need surgery. And there was just this, I don't know if it was an outbreak of joy, but laughter and smiles and things. As I walked out, people blessed me and I blessed them back. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you did this for somebody in that waiting room too. There's somebody that needed to hear this today and somebody that needed hope. And so I am just so grateful, Brother David, today to say that my eye is 100%.
Praise the Lord. No bad side effects from the Lord, is there?
None at all. No withdrawals, no medications, no stitches, no nothing.
Glory to God. And didn't you tell me that that specialist was a Muslim?
I believe he was a Muslim, yes, and he was so taken back by what I had said. I noticed that at one point he was actually kind of, you know, leaning backwards because I was so full of joy and so jubilant. He didn't know how to take it. And he just kept looking back down at my pictures of my eye and the records and two doctors who, you know, who've already documented that there was this problem. And it was just such a moment, you know, of excitement. I just think that he saw the real living God. Whether he was a Muslim or he wasn't saved or whatever, he got a dose of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
As well as everybody in the office, too.
Praise be God. Now let me ask you this. Did you have Mr. So-and-so great healer to pray over you?
No. You know what? That's the thing that I really would like to share with the brethren, because there were, a few years back, I got really into that healing line thing and the big ministries and all this kind of thing. There was no evangelist there. Nobody took off their suit coat and hit me with it. Nobody blew on me, pushed me down. I didn't feel like I had to roll on the ground and have a seizure or anything. When I talked to the Lord from my heart with my very small amount of faith, and I was sincere, all I could tell you is I felt peace. I didn't feel electricity or any of the other things. I just felt in my heart like it was like taking a breath of fresh air and total peace and contentment when I walked into his office. I just knew.
Thank you, Father. A word of knowledge, a word of comfort, right? And
amen.
So, of course, this is available to anybody out there, right, Care?
Absolutely. If he will do it for a housewife from Arizona, he will do it for anyone. Anyone who asks. Just ask. I will encourage people to just seek the Lord. And really what's important, Brother David, is that we need to make sure that we have a relationship with the one who heals. We need to draw close to him in these days and have a real relationship, know his word, study his word, stay close to him. And I believe it is so important to have fellowship. And I know, you know, through the prayer team, we get emails from people all the time telling us that they're just seeking fellowship of people of a like mind. And if I could just share this, because I believe that the prayers of my little prayer group that I get together with really make a difference in my lives and the lives of all you guys who ask us to pray, too. There is nobody here in my area of a like mind. I have felt alone for a long time. But what the Lord has done is he's brought four ladies together from all over this country. We have a lady in Alaska, I'm in Arizona, and we have two more on the East Coast. And we hook up once a week on a conference telephone call. And we fellowship, we encourage one another, we give each other the word of the Lord, and we pray. And we have had so many answered prayers. It is phenomenal. In fact, we just decided last week that we're going to start journaling that for people so they could see what God is doing and keeping a record of that. But I can't encourage people enough to fellowship with like-minded people. Encourage one another in these times because the Lord wants to heal all of us. All of us.
Amen. And Jesus revealed that too in his ministry. You know, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, he came to reveal the will of the Father to us. And he went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil. And, of course, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I really like your idea, Care, of, you know, since you and other people may be alone in their particular area with not someone in agreement with them concerning the Word of God, you know, joining up with other people and praying the prayer of agreement, because that is powerful. That is powerful. The Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. That's a multiplication of your prayer power, you know. And you need people. You need people to pray for you, to, you know, receive revelations from the Lord for you. Sometimes the Lord gives revelations to other people for you that he won't give to you. And fellowship is important. You know, fellowship is giving and taking, and it's necessary. The Lord doesn't want any of us to be puffed up and proud, and so he wants us to be in need of the body. You know, he's built the body to work together, you know.
Exactly. And what I find with this group, too, is that we can pray during the week when we're apart, or we can email, but we have really found that just the fact that you find people to pray with that are of a like mind, that will agree for healing, that will agree for the things that you're asking God for with you, that they will come alongside of you and join their faith with yours. Because a lot of times this world, if you're out in the world or you're all alone, the negative, the enemy, just all the terrible stuff, it becomes so overwhelming that sometimes we lose sight. But if you've got somebody that you're accountable to that will pray with you, and when you speak wrong, correct you right away and put the word of God in your mouth and stand by you, I wish I could print our journal for you guys when we get it all written up of the things the Lord has done for us. It's amazing.
Amen. Well, you said you confessed before those folks that the Lord healed my eye. And I want to say, I want to go a little bit further than that for anybody out there that needs any kind of a healing or a provision from God. The Lord already healed you too, and he already provided for you. It was all done at the cross. You know, 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. What that does is it takes away any kind of anxiety of trying to talk God into doing something that he's already done. And the good news. You know, we don't hear much of the good news nowadays. We hear a lot of silly stuff in churches, and so we have to go and look in the Word of God. The good news is that Jesus has already healed you, folks. If you're a child of God and you're under covenant to him, then by that covenant, he has saved you. And the word saved, by the way, the word sozo, is used in the word for healing, just like it is for salvation of your soul. It's just translated differently. It's translated made whole in some instances and in some other short ways. The word sozo is. And salvation is the noun, of course. And people don't know that salvation is so much bigger than getting to go to heaven when you die. It's it covers everything you need, being saved from every part of the curse, spirit, soul, body, and circumstances. Salvation is very, very big. And the great news about this is that it's already done. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to talk Him into it. You enter into the works which were finished from the foundation of the world. You enter into those works through your faith. And faith is what Jesus said when He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's past tense. That's past tense in every manuscript. Matter of fact, if your Bible doesn't say past tense, you might see a footnote at the bottom, and it will tell you that. It's past tense. Jesus said, no matter what you pray for, believe you received it, and you shall have it. Now, why does He say that? Because we received it at the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah, looking forward to Jesus, spoke that verse in the future tense, and Peter, looking back at Jesus, spoke it in the past tense. Jesus is our answer, folks. He is our salvation. He has already healed you. It doesn't matter what you have. He has healed you. Learn the good news. There's a series of teachings on our site. There are one-hour TV programs or audios, depending upon however you want to partake of them. They're called The Real Good News. And basically it dwells on the fact of an awful lot of Scripture that proves exactly what we're saying. You know, the natural mind wars with us when it comes to spiritual things.
Yes.
It wars against us. And you have to be convinced by Scripture or the devil will talk you out of it. And, you know, when you study enough Scripture to see that the Lord has already healed you, already delivered you, already provided for you, already taken care of all of your needs that have to do with His wondrous salvation, then it takes all the question marks out. You know, it takes all the loopholes out. And the devil tries, but he can't get through, and so your faith stays strong, you know.
It's so true. It's so true. You know, Brother David, the next day afterwards, of course, you know, I was emailing people and calling people and sharing the good news. I got this horrid stabbing pain right in that eye. And it was like I never had that pain before. And it was like, devil, goodbye. It's done. It is done. And it wasn't even a matter of maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and the pain just left. I started quoting the Scriptures to you know, out loud, and it was like the pain just left. It was like His last stand to try to convince me that it really wasn't a healing.
Oh, absolutely. And anybody that's been in this kind of a warfare for very long knows exactly what you're talking about, Kara, that the devil tries you with symptoms. If you accept those symptoms and you don't accept what the Word of God says about you, guess what, folks? You got it. You'll get it right back. You know, many people get healed or delivered or provided for, and the devil throws up a symptom, and they buy that rather than the Word. But the Bible says we don't walk by sight, but by faith. You see, faith is what calls the things that be not as though they were. If you walk by sight, you're in the devil's territory. He has a right to put this on you. Now, I don't know if, Kara, if you agree with this or not, but let me just share a point that a lot of people don't think about. You know, when you went, for instance, to the eye doctor and your eye was working perfectly normal and you weren't having any problems and he looked in there and found this terrible problem, let me say that one or two things could have been true there. Number one, there could have been a problem there that you didn't know about and didn't see, but you don't have to accept it because the Lord has given you His health. He made reconciliation. He gave you His health, and He took your sickness on the cross. Right? Now, number one.
Amen.
Number two, He may have looked in that microscope or whatever He was looking down and saw something that actually was not there. Because the devil has power to do that. And he could tell you, look, you got this terrible hemorrhage in the center of your eye. And let me tell you something. When you disagree with the gospel, you got it. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. What that tells you is, you got to be careful what you believe. Now you need to get in the Bible and believe the good news of what God says He's already done for you. Because a lot of times when the devil comes up with his threats, you know, like a hemorrhage in the center of your eye, you can tell him, I don't buy that, devil. The Lord healed me at the cross. I don't have any sickness. I'm delivered. You know, Exodus 15 and 26, you know, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so, when the Lord says He's done something, He's done it. And so, Amen. When man comes along and says, no, that's not true, you've got this problem, you know what you can say? I don't accept that. I don't believe that. I believe the good news. And the good news, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. See, the minute you give it up, you give up your right to the devil. The devil has a legal right. He's been given legal rights by God to torment people who do not believe the gospel. Believe it or not, folks, many of you out there are sick right now because you accepted that. You didn't know the good news, and you didn't hold fast to the good news, and the devil had a right to put it on you. And you don't believe that? Let me just quote to you a few verses here, okay? You take the last five verses of the Bible, and He tells us, He warns us, that if you add to His words, He'll add to you the curses that are in this book. Now what is adding to His words? That's saying something that His word does not say, right? If you say that you're sick when the Bible says you're healed, and believe me, you go and look up, you'll find out that it does say this over and over, that you are healed, you are delivered. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. That's past tense. He calls the things that be not as though they were. That's past tense. By grace have you been saved. That's past tense. See, it's always past tense because it happened at the cross. It's not happening now. It happened then, you see. So, when you add to the Word of God, walking by sight, or some specialist who walks by sight, guess what He said? He said He will add to you the curses that are in this book. Now, the book does pronounce all those curses. Read Deuteronomy 28. But Jesus, in Galatians 3 and 13, took your curse. He bore it upon Himself. He became accursed for you. And why is that? So you don't have to bear it. It's very simple. It's what the Bible says. He not only took your sin, He took the curse that was upon the sin. Now that, most of Christianity does not accept. Okay. Now, the rest of those five verses, again, points out that if you take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, He'll take away your part from the tree of life. Wow. So it's pretty dangerous to take away some things that are written in that book, right? And, you know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians that if anybody preaches unto you any gospel other than the gospel that he preached, let him be anathema. Why is it so bad and so dangerous for people to preach another gospel, which is quite common? Well, because they're taking away your blessings by doing it. The real gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes it. You've got to give people the real gospel. When they believe it, it's their benefits, you see. That's how God imparts power to people to receive His benefits. So I say, you know, I know this is true, what I just said to Care, because over the years, I have gotten out of more sickness by not accepting it in the first place than having to pray for it after accepting it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, you know, the Lord, in Exodus 15 and 26, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord. In other words, He was talking about the difference between the Egyptians, that is the world, and the Israelites, right? He said, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, that doesn't talk about healing. That's divine health. That's not healing. You say, well, David, sometimes we sin. That's true. And if you sin, you can go to the Lord and you can confess your sin, 1 John 1:7-9, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you sinned, then, you know, if you hear this threat, you know, by man, or you see it, you feel it, whatever, in the natural, you should go to God. You should make sure everything is clean between you and him, and you have confessed your sins, and that he has pronounced you righteous, and that you're righteous by your faith. You know, you believe that Jesus took away your sins. He accounts you as righteous. Now, the first thing you need, if you want something from God, is to be accounted righteous, even if you're not manifestly righteous. You know, you're accounted righteous when you believe God. And, of course, believing God is the way to the manifestation of your holiness. But God counts you righteous when you believe him, even before he imparts that righteousness. You see, that's the great thing about it. And so what do you need to get healing, deliverance, provision? You need that imputed. It's called imputed righteousness. You need that. So, and part of that imputed righteousness, the Bible tells us in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar, that thou might be justified in thy words and overcome when you come into judgment. Now, that's pretty interesting. God justifies you by your words. In other words, when you say, well, I don't accept that. I believe what the Bible says. By his stripes I was healed. You know what? He imputes righteousness to you, that thou might be justified. The word justified is just as if I'd never sinned. It also means accounted righteous. Accounted righteous. So when you agree with God, he accounts you righteous. That's the first thing you need when you want to get something from God. Accounted righteous. Now, that accounted righteous means that you're not manifestly righteous. You're accepting the free gift of righteousness which God is going to give to you because of your faith. You see? And also, because you are righteous by faith, you have a right to all the benefits of the kingdom. Now, the Egyptians don't have that right. The people of the world don't have that right. They have no covenant. They have no blood covenant. They've not entered into a blood covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have that right. Guaranteed legal right. But you have it if you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross for you. You have it. Okay. However, that does not mean that God can't heal somebody who is lost before they come into the kingdom. He can do that. He will tell you if he wants to do that. He will. You know, that's something you have to be led to do. But we know we as children of God have a legal right to all of God's benefits. That's why Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And who did he do that to? It was for the people of God. And he even showed us a few, like the centurion and like the Syrophoenician woman, who were not people of God, but were people of God according to the New Testament, which is faith, right? Their faith gained them what they needed from God. And so it's the same for you out there that are listening. You got a problem, let me say, you don't have a problem. you need to find out what the Bible says, because you really don't have a problem. And if you think you got a problem, that's your problem.
Absolutely. And Brother David, I would go back to the fellowship issue. Be careful who you fellowship with. Be of people of a like mind that are going to speak the good news to you. I got myself caught up a few years ago, like I said, in churches that were just absolutely false. And once that stuff's in you, you know, it makes a big difference. And I pray every day, and our little prayer group prays too, that we see the truth, that we have discernment on everything that we listen to. I'm really particular what I allow the kids to listen to. Their Bible, we homeschool our kids, is full. David, you're one of the few guys that my husband puts on your teachings on the internet, and they sit and that's their Bible for the day. There's a very few people. We want them to be equipped to know that this is the truth. No matter what the world's going to tell you once you get out there, this is the truth. This is the good news. This is your heritage as God's child. And I just can't stress the importance of making sure that you're in the right group of people that are speaking the truth. There's so much falseness out there in the churches.
And a little leaven leavens the whole lump, doesn't it? I mean, you can let that into your
terrible.
Home, and it will just wreak havoc in your home, you know.
It did. It did. And the Lord, you know, it's just like my little prayer in that little theater room, you know. Just call out to Him. And especially, you know, my heart is for children and preparing them for what is about to come, or actually what I think we're starting in, actually. And we've got to prepare our families, our children, to accept that good news, because that is the truth. That's what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And if we instill that in our children, they are going to be the ones that are going to make it through all this.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, you mentioned people swinging their coat at you and things like that. You know, We're used to that over here. We're not too far from Brownsville, and they did a lot of that kind of stuff. But we found out that those healings didn't even last long enough for the reporter to get over there and find out about it in most cases. But and also, you know, you mentioned something to me earlier, Care, about going to, like, for instance, a Benny Hinn meeting and seeing the hundreds and hundreds of people that didn't get healed there.
No, in fact, my poor husband, I drug him to one of those things a while back. It was a few years back before I learned the truth. And we stood in line for 8 hours in the hot beating sun in L.A. And if you guys have ever been in downtown L.A., it's not a pleasant place to be. And it was so sad because after all that time, they just told us there was no more room and they turned us away. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking around at the disappointment in all the people. There were people in wheelchairs, and there were people with cancer, and there were sick children. And it was like, if you didn't make it in, too bad. And I remember this lady just standing up and saying, don't leave, don't leave. Let's pray for one another.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to be in that building.
Exactly.
And it was like hope, you know, a little ray of hope. And I'm telling you that it was not an evangelist. I've been in all their lines. I've been to the ministries. I used to listen to all that garbage, and I've had to repent from all that. And the Lord has put me on a path of truth now. And you guys don't need a mega church. You don't need a particular person. Nobody needs to blow and spit on you and hit you with their coat. This happened so lovingly, gentle, and subtle. It was just, I can't put into words how I felt. I just can't. There are no words for this.
You know, they put on a pretty good show in some of this with just a few people. And in many cases, that's the only people that get healed. But, you know, if you will teach people their rights as a child of God through the good news of the gospel, if you teach people their rights, you don't have to turn people away. They, wherever they are in touch with Jesus Christ. And what Care said is exactly so. It's more important. More people get healed if you stand up there and teach the gospel, teach
yes.
the truth, than the few that are healed by a gift. Now, gifts are wonderful. I mean, they're really wonderful. They're really nice. They put on a good demonstration of the love of God for multitudes of other people who can have faith when they see such a thing. But the problem is, some people's faith is in the person.
Yes.
And or in the gift. Their faith is not in the gospel. Just remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. It's more important for you to believe the gospel than it is to know somebody or travel all the way across the country to find somebody that could possibly give you a gift. And when you get there, you find out hundreds of people did not get that gift, just a few did. See, it's more important for you to know and receive your miracle right where you stand than it is to travel all the way across the country and find somebody like that.
Well, and two, Brother David, I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel there'll be a time when all that will go away. And if you do not have the personal relationship with the Lord that I'm talking about, I mean, you're not going to have a middleman to go to for healing. You're going to have to call out to the Father yourself. And it's so important that you know the truth, that the Word of God is in your heart. It's buried deep within there, and that you can quote it to yourself day in and day out. You know, David, I have not been to a doctor yet that didn't have bad news.
Well, that's because they all walk by sight.
That's right, and that's what we are indoctrinated in with, you know, that these are the flesh and blood, and you're older now, you're this, you're a diabetic, you're that, and again, going back to get with the people, pray with people who have the good news, that know the truth, because my mistake several years ago was getting involved with this and being indoctrinated with those lies, and now it's I mean, if I could just, I can't even put into words what it feels like to have a healing like this. I just really can't, because I know that nobody can talk me out of it. Nothing. I know who touched me. There's no doubt. It's not like it was a feeling that came and went. It is a confidence. It is a peace. And I don't even think those words can describe, they fail to describe what I feel. And how I think now. It's changed my thinking so much, even more now. And just, I encourage the brethren to get into the Word and the Good News series on the internet. And really, if I could, David, I would love to invite the listeners, email us in at the ministry. Our prayer team will pray with you. We'll join our faith with yours. Bill is going to give you scriptures that will encourage you, and we will hold you up and be with you. You are not alone. I get so many emails that say, I'm so alone, but you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of people out there scattered across this country that will believe with you. And I know it's hard for a lot of people to come out of that church, you know, that they're in. And the lies that they've been told for years. You know, I was in Oklahoma for a while after the bombing, and when you would talk to a lot of people there, they would say, well, I'm a Baptist. And we would ask them, well, how'd you become a Baptist? Well, my granddaddy founded this church, and my mama was baptized in this church, you know, and there's a lot of different ways that these churches become social centers. And these revivals that are going on right now, which are just absolutely fake and lies. And once you get in that, it's really hard to come out, because you feel like you're just, you know, alone. But you're not. You're not. You're being called out.
Amen. And, you know, the point Kara makes about finding fellowship is good. One thing that we have done here at Unleavened Bread Ministries is that we leave the room open, that is the Pal Talk room, open, past the end of our meeting, so that people can come in there and put their, you know, their city and state, and so that way other people can contact them if necessary. And that's a good way. Lots of people have found each other that way. Some of you don't come into the Pal Talk room. You go into one of the other four rooms that we have. And that's fine. You know, there's no two-way communication that way. In Pal Talk, of course, you can have more communication. And those that join us by broadcast can, of course, go into our Pal Talk room. I forgot. What's the name of our room, Bill? Unleavened Bread Bible Study, but it's under Christian, right? So if you desire to find some folks in your area, you can do that. Okay. I'm not guaranteeing you that some schnook won't come in there and contact you guys. So just be careful. That's why we designed it this way, so you could just put your city and state, and you could talk to them and find out something. So anyway, God bless you. I hope you will receive the gospel, the good news. And Kara gave us a good testimony of, and God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Kara, he will do for you. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I've been receiving healing, you know, consistently for over 35 years now. And God is faithful to his word. I mean, Jesus healed everybody that came to him by faith, everyone that came to him by faith. And you know, a lot of those people had problems. A lot of them had sins in their life. And yet the mercy of God through Jesus Christ healed them. So you have to remember that. Sometimes the devil will tell you you're not worthy and you did this and you did that. Well, look, just confess your sins to God, like he said. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of unrighteousness. Confess your sins. Accept your righteousness in God, your imputed righteousness. Then you're entitled to the benefits of God. Now, if you're just using God, believe me, it'll come back on you. You can't get out from under the curse if you're going to live in sin. You just can't get out from under the curse. It's there in order to motivate people to turn to God. It's kind of like God's whipping switch, you know. I mean, you get enough and you say, you cry uncle. You know, okay, Lord, what do you want? Yeah, I'm here. Yes, sir. How high you want me to jump, Lord? Sometimes, you know, it's that way. And if you humble yourself before the Lord and confess your sins, he hears you and he will heal you. If you go back to your sins, believe me, if it ain't that curse, it'll be another one. But it'll be there. It'll be there because God loves you, you see. So God has a purpose in the curse. If you go back and read the curse, by the way, Deuteronomy 28, you'll find out God is the one that put the curse on his people for rebellion. So don't be saying it's the devil this, the devil that, because you don't have any reason to repent if it's the devil being bad to you. But you do if it's your father whipping you. And the truth is, it is your father whipping you. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, even if it comes through the devil. It doesn't make any difference. It comes through the devil. God is sovereign. The devil is not. And so, if you've got bad things happening to you, ask God. Ask him why. Ask him if there's anything you need to repent of. Most likely, you already know what you need to repent of. And do it. And confess it. And then start thanking him for what he says in his word is your benefit. Praise be to God. O'Care, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless you guys.
God bless you. Appreciate you coming in and sharing that. And, of course, welcome to hang on, okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up. All right? Because I got things to do. But God bless you guys, okay? And I'll listen to you later.
All right. God bless you.